trembling for a taste of the Holy Spirit, like mouths of baby birds opening for the taste of worms. In God's eyes, I'm not fat, Miss Emily was shaking her head. Her eyes were closed tightly. Her body was moving gracefully back and forth. In God's eyes, there's just more of me to love, more of me to love him. Sweet Jesus is good, the people declared. More of me to love, Miss Emily began drawing imaginary circles in the air, swirling her palms around and around, the circles growing larger and larger. More of me to love him, she said, gingerly lowering her body, then springing upward, painting circles all the while. Astounded, I stared wide-eyed at her while sliding my chair closer to the woman beside me. But Miss Emily didn't notice. She just stood there, now perfectly still, her hands clutched, her eyelids closed, her lips puckered as though she were kissing the air. Come on up, sister, Brother Thomas urged as she stood there with tears streaming down her plump cheeks. Give your heart to the Lord. With those words, Brother Thomas extended his hand in her direction. The musicians began to play. What a friend we have in Jesus, the tent sang, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Brother Thomas insisted, please, sweet sister, give your heart to the Lord. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Miss Emily's eyelids fluttered open. My arms reached out to her, but her arms reached out to the stage. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Come, sister, come, Brother Thomas begged. No, I mouthed, shaking my head. Don't go. Come to the Lord, Brother Thomas requested. Please, Miss Emily, I entreated. Don't go. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. Miss Emily took a step forward. Don't, I begged her, don't do this. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find a solace there. I'm coming, Miss Emily cried, I'm coming to the Lord. And with those words, she took another step. People seated in front and in back of us slid back their chairs, and Miss Emily began to move easily between the two rows, past me, toward the center aisle. I'm coming, she declared, with her arms stretched out in front of her, with her fingers flailing the air. In his arms he'll take and shield me, she sang out. I will find a solace there. I buried my face in my hands and felt the beginnings of a jerk ripple along my stomach. Please, Miss Emily, not you, I moaned. Horror-stricken, I caught sight of Miss Emily's massive form, gliding like a hula dancer down the aisle, her arms undulating gracefully to the music. As she moved, she effortlessly lowered her body, inch by inch, bending down, closer and closer to the sawdust-covered floor until she was resting on her haunches directly in front of the stage. Then, like a huge emerald whale, she rose upward through the mist and heat onto the platform. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. 500 sweet voices rang out. Come to me, sister, Brother Thomas implored. Surrounded by the rhythmical clapping of hands, Miss Emily stood before him with her head tossed back, her mouth wide open. Give your heart to the Lord, he said, offering her his hands. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God, the tent sang out. With her face turned upward, Miss Emily, ever so slowly, finger by finger, put her hands over his and gently squeezed. Thereupon, Brother Thomas folded her into his huge arms and pressed her against him. This is a holy hug, he announced, fervently patting her back, stroking one shoulder, then the other. touch, sanctioned by God.
Oh, merciful Lord,
Miss Emily cried, her fingers tentatively brushing against her shoulders.
Oh, praise God,
she shouted, turning to face the congregation.
I've been touched,
she sobbed.
Touched.
At once, she started to vibrate. Waves of fat rippled and rolled down her body. A smile covered her lips. Ecstasy shimmered in her eyes.
Touched,
she cried. I began to see smiles. Smiles, it seemed, were forming all over Miss Emily's body. Creases of fat had turned upward. On her elbows, around her ankles, on her earlobes. Smiles were in her chin. They chased each other, giggling down her neck. They danced on the palms of her hands, around her knuckles, all over her. But I could not smile back.
Touched,
her voice lilted. Smiles were whiplashing around her, outlining her girth, swimming near the lights. Like giddy earthworms, they pirouetted across the stage. Smiles were everywhere, on everyone's face. Yet my face was frozen. A commotion came from the back of the tent, and I turned to look behind me. The middle-aged woman with the glass eye vaulted up and started babbling.
Aja, nasha, la, la, la.
Rivers of sweat poured down her face. Looking directly at me, she chanted,
ta, la, sala, ta, ta, ta.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance,
Brother Thomas quoted, holding aloft the Bible. Dri, shri, mri, tri, the wizened old man at the end of my row trilled.
God's power is here tonight,
Brother Thomas screamed, shaking the Bible like one of Moses' tablets.
Don't turn your backs on him, he warned. Just open up your hearts.
Mi corazón,
Miss Emily shouted. The jerk, once in my stomach, now yanked at my heart, then slammed against my chest. Mitanny, I whined, my eyes scanning the row. But she was gone, too.
Mitanny,
I called out, whipping around in my seat, frantically searching for her.
Oh, Mitanny,
I cried. In front of me, one of the elderly women jumped up, tossed out her hands, and shrieked. I covered my ears with my palms. The men in the royal blue suits who earlier had opened the tent's flaps were now moving methodically up and down the center aisle, offering their hands and escorting people toward the stage. Worshippers were contorting and falling down on their knees. I removed my hands from my ears. Twisting from side to side, my eyes continued to hunt for her small form. Then I spotted her. In the side aisle, on the arm of Gracie Van Winkle, the two of them were walking, floating toward the stage.
I'm all alone, I muttered. Here in this place, all alone.
Just a closer walk with thee.
The musician sang, swaying from side to side. The women in purple were shaking their tambourines. The drummer's sticks were gliding over the drums. The guitars buzzed like bees. The jerk ripped through my head. My neck lurched spasmodically to the left. You're alone, my thoughts declared.
Grant it, Jesus is my plea,
the tent boomed. You've got no one, my mind said. No Patani, no Mitanny, no Miss Emily. No Jesus, no God. In front of the curtain, Miss Emily's humongous body was oscillating. Beside her, Mitanny and her friend were swaying too. So was the woman with the glass eye and the wizened old man. 50 people were weaving back and forth on the wooden platform. All of them were singing,
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I'll be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me.
Brother Thomas sang back, tightly gripping the microphone, which once more was fondling his lips.
Oh, merciful Lord, I whispered, folding my arms around me, hugging myself tightly. Please don't leave me now, I begged, realizing that the people I loved most in this world were separated from me by a gulf much wider than the distance I had to travel to get to that stage. panicked, I stared straight ahead at the swinging backdrop of Jesus and at Miss Emily swaying in front of it. Energy rippled through the curtain and through Miss Emily's body. Back and forth, like frames in a movie, the backdrop began to flicker to life. Miss Emily moved to one side. Miss Emily moved back, and Jesus smiled. Miss Emily swayed again. Now a little girl with dark hair was sitting on the ground, worshiping by his feet. He leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. No one, I thought. Another jerk throbbed in the tips of my toes. No one. Miss Emily shifted again, and the child at Jesus' feet turned around to look at me. Sweet Jesus! I sobbed, gazing at the curtain, staring at the child, staring back at me. Once more, Miss Emily swayed, and between each of her movements, I saw either Jesus or my grandmother standing behind her. Sweet Jesus, I repeated, looking straight ahead. Back and forth, it was Jesus, then Mitanni, Jesus, and Mitanni, and then Jesus changed. Startled, I jumped. Mitanni, I cried. All alone, my thoughts insisted. No, I said out loud. No, I repeated. The backdrop pulsated, and my grandfather held my grandmother. Mitanni, I'm back here, I yelled, stretching up on my toes. And breaking into a smile, my grandfather nodded, then reached out his arms to me. The backdrop waved again. Instantly, Mitanni disappeared. You see? He's dead, my thought said. You're alone. No, I groaned as a twitch tore through my arm. It's not true, I protested, my fingers clawing the air. No, 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 I cried, breathing in deeply, feeling hot tears. No, no, no. Then, clutching my forearm, I bowed my head and began to plow through legs, pushing toward the center aisle. No, I sobbed, tripping over a woman's foot, stumbling to the floor. Don't you worry none, a voice whispered, soft fingers taking my hand. I'll help you up, the soothing voice said. And turning my head to the side, I watched silently as Mamie Tillman wove her strong arm through mine and eased me off the sawdust-covered floor. Unsteady on my legs, I nodded to her and smiled. Nodding back, she lifted her head and, with eyes open wide, looked toward the stage. Hovering above the platform was a golden light, and everyone illuminated beneath it was as still as a mannequin. Only the curtain moved, floating like a cloud above the platform. Alone, my thoughts reminded me. Exasperated, I covered my eyes with my hands. Don't let your heart be afraid, I thought I heard Mitanni say. If you're waiting for darkness, you'll never see the light. I held in my breath and parted the fingers over my eyes. Yellow rays of light slipped through. Like a curtain opening, my hands slid to the sides of my face. There, shining bright before me, was Jesus Christ, his form dancing across the backdrop. At his feet, gazing upward, was the dark-haired girl. My eyelids blinked, and Rose's knotted body was fighting against itself. Jesus was looking down at her, his eyes brimming with tears, his hand trembling with hesitation. Sweet Rose lay twisted beneath him. Suddenly, her lips turned upward, and her arm corkscrewed outward. Tenderly, she touched his fingers, whereupon he brought that same hand to his heart and smiled. Rose touched Jesus, I thought. She willed it, just like she willed her way toward me. I closed my eyes again, and when I opened them, sweet Jesus was singing but one song. You must love yourself. You must love yourself, I echoed. At once, the 500 churchgoers began to sing. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling, they sang out. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song.
faithful, loving service to him belongs.
I glanced around me. 500 faces were flushed. 1,000 eyes were beaming.
Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
All of those who were lost but looking were singing.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
All of those already saved sang. Standing there beside Mamie Tillman, with my arms spread out, my yellow hair and aura around my head, determined to cross that distance and reach the ones I loved, I began to sing. I felt love radiating from me and massaging the airwaves. As I sang, Mamie Tillman gently guided me toward the stage.
All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling.
The love inside me penetrated my skin, muscle, and bone, nourishing not only myself, but every red, open heart which beat inside that tent.
In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing.
I was singing white, shining lullabies that have existed since the beginning of time.
Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song.
In each note I sang, love was being born.
Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love, love,
I sang out. The pure chords of my voice rang true. My voice became the voice of every animal, the voice of every tongue, the voice of every human, the language of God.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Tightly I closed my eyelids. Singing blindly but with full sight, I was drawn to the light. Divine, holy, and inspired, my voice came from somewhere beyond me, from a blessed place that embraced everyone I had ever loved. And for once, my life cradled possibility. Slowly, I opened my eyes. While the people behind me were still singing, those on the stage were quiet. With faces filled with wonder, they were listening to me. Upstairs in my bedroom, Miss Emily, rocking back in Mitanni's chair, asked,
"What's a prayer meeting like?"
"Well, Mitanni's church is different," I answered her. "Not like the churches we've gone to in Ginseng." Miss Emily formed a church steeple with her hands.
"And how's that?" she asked.
Sitting Indian style in the center of my bed, I explained, "It's more like the big tent revival, only smaller."
"Oh, I see,"
Miss Emily chuckled, turning her hands over, exposing her interlocked fingers, wiggling them.
"They get the Holy Spirit."
"Here's the church," I said, imitating her. "Here's the steeple. Open the door." I, in turn, opened my hands. "And here's the people." Frantically, I jiggled my fingers. Miss Emily eyed me and asked,
"Do you like it more?"
"I like the smallness of it," I said. "Everybody knows everybody. It's real friendly. No one is in charge. Whoever gets the Spirit stands up and speaks what's in his or her heart. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they don't hold back. I mean, they all shout and praise God, speak in tongues. No one's left out."
"Holy Ghost bedlam," Miss Emily said, clapping.
"I felt it too," I said, "even stronger than at the revival."
"Tell me more,"
Miss Emily said. "I'm still thinking about the revival." Carefully, I unfolded my legs and swung them over the edge of the bed. "Well, it'll be hard," I said, clumping to the floor.
"Give it your best shot," Miss Emily urged.
Thoughtfully, I began pacing. Well, of all the preaching, the one who sticks in my mind the most is Brother Emmett. In the beginning, when he spoke, I couldn't feel what he was saying. "You see, I was listening with my mind," I explained. "I was hearing his words, but not feeling them in my heart. But then I left my mind at the door and let my heart take over. And the minute I did, the fire of God's love began burning through my body. The Holy Spirit bubbled in my blood and blazed in my soul. All of a sudden, I wanted to shout. I wanted everyone to know about the power of God. And before I knew it, I was singing, my voice stronger than ever before. I sang out in English, in Spanish, and in French, then in tongues I'd never heard. My voice was like 100 bells sweetly ringing. It became a chorus of voices, a one-person heavenly choir. As I sang, everyone became quiet, and every head turned to look at me. Not once did the jerks come. Not once did I feel a croak creep up into my throat. God had unblocked my energy and set it free. It was the power of His touch, Miss Emily. God gave me a massage of love. Touched, she said, bringing her index finger down her cheek. God was the one who touched me, I said solemnly. As I walked to Mamie Tillman's farm that day, with the blue Bertham blanket draped over my arm, I felt the June sun already hot on my back and thought about the changes Mitanny, Miss Emily, and I had gone through. That morning, I knew what I was about to do was right. In fact, the rightness of it was urging me on. The day before, I'd asked Mitanny to give me one of the Bertham blankets my mama had made for me. At first, Mitanny hadn't said a word. Then, as if she hadn't heard me, she asked, "One of your Bertham blankets?" "Yes, ma'am," I said. "Well, they're mine, aren't they?" But before I could continue, Mitanny was reciting her story. The one I had heard so many times before, about how my mama grieved 3 times before I was born.
God took 3 of her babies, Mitanny had said. The longest one she carried 5 months. Your mama knitted 10 Bertham blankets, 5 blue ones and 5 pink ones.
She had held up her tiny hands and wiggled her fingers.
After so much pain and sorrow, she weren't taking no chances with you. My lucky charm, your mama called you, 'cause you was conceived the night of the shooting star, when Poplar Holler was sprinkled with stardust.
After which Mitanny ran her fingers through her hair, straightened her apron, looked me straight in the eyes, and asked,
"May I ask what you want it for?"
I cleared my throat and explained that I couldn't give particulars because that would be breaking a trust, but that I could tell her the blanket was for a friend. Her eyes welled up with tears.
"Once you give a thing away, you can't ask for it back," she said. "It'll be lost to our family."
Nodding, I walked over, put my arm around her, and told her I was doing the right thing. This was something my mama would want.
"I'm starting a ritual," I said, "a blanket every year for my friend. Each one of those blankets has some of mama's spirit in it, enough to give my friend courage."
As was her way, Mitanny had moved briskly to her bedroom, where the Bertham blankets were stored in a trunk at the foot of her bed. All around me now, along the roadside to Mamie's house, the wildflowers were blooming. Patches of chicory with their lovely lavender-blue flowers greeted me, and I greeted them back, for by noon their blossoms would be withered, only their stalks would remain. My future will be filled with books and college, I thought, dreaming while I strolled along. Books, college, and friends. Since the Big Tent Revival meeting, I could feel some direction in my life and could sometimes imagine my future. And it was a future filled with possibilities.
"I'm gonna make you work hard this summer," Miss Emily had said at my 15th birthday party.
Books were in piles on the floor. Shakespeare's Hamlet, Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, The Prophet by Khalil Gibran, Houston Smith's The Religions of Man, textbooks on algebra, biology, botany, world history, and even philosophy.
"In 2 years, you're going to take your high school equivalency exam," she said, "and of course you'll pass."
She had drummed her fingers urgently against the sofa's armrest.
"Right after that, the college entrance exam. Then we'll apply to colleges. Berea College is a good choice, and I'm not just saying that because I went there. It's for smart kids who can't afford school. They help you work your way through."
"Please," I'd groaned. "I'm 15 now. Can't we have some fun?" Huffing and puffing, Miss Emily had stood up.
"Fun,"
she said, ambling out of the room. After 5 minutes, completely out of breath, she had returned.
"Here," she moaned, "it's a Smith Corona, for your studies."
Before I could utter a word, she had said, "This year, we'll write term papers, footnotes and all. But first, you must learn to type." Yes, I thought as I walked along, Miss Emily's prophecy might come true. Ever so often, I spotted rocket larkspur, those purple petals glowing in a sunny, rocky field. Squirrels chattered in the trees. They always made me laugh. Blue jays flitted and fought. Yes, I said at the top of my lungs. Yes, yes, yes. And even though I knew that I'd still want to croak and sometimes jerk, I wasn't afraid. I now realized that if I met the urge halfway, nourished it with a flutter of my fingers, and consoled it with a song, then maybe, just maybe, college would be possible. "Here," I said, gently placing the blue blanket in Mamie's arms when she met me at the door. "In memory of your baby." She asked me in like I'd been coming every Saturday for the last 10 years. She didn't seem surprised by my words, nor did she ask how I knew about her baby. It was simply understood that I knew. In the living room, we sat in silence. After a few minutes, she spoke. "I buried him in the woods out back." Softly, she stroked the blanket. "He was born dead. Never got a chance to live. But oh, he was so pretty," she said, flickering her eyelashes, throwing back her head. "He looked just like his daddy. A cap of black hair, tiny beautiful fingers, perfect, not a mark on him," she said in a quiet voice, gazing into my eyes. "Why did God take him? I couldn't understand why. On account of me, I thought. On account of my sin." I reached out and touched her arm. "It's not so," I said. "No, it's not so," she said, and held the blanket up to her nose, breathing in. "I know that now. God loves me. He loves you. His heart is big enough for all of us. Ain't one of us alone." Mitanny and I were savoring freshly sliced peaches covered in cream when she asked,
"Icy, when will you join the church?"
"I won't be joining any church," I stated without hesitation. I had been expecting this for a week.
"Why not?"
she asked, swallowing hard. "'Cause I like them all," I said.
"But you can't like them all," she said.
"But I do," I said. "I've been visiting a whole bunch of churches these past few weeks," I went on. "I've been reading books all about the world's religions, and to tell the truth, I've grown to like bits and pieces of them all. When Miss Emily took me to the Episcopalian Church in Ginseng, I liked the ritual. It was beautiful. Even Old Vine Methodist with its high-stepping congregation was charming, especially when they forgot to put on airs, when they showed their true feelings and reached out to the Lord. And Mitanny, I reckon if I went to a synagogue, I'd find God there, too. Even the Catholic Church, I imagine, holds the promise of glory. What I'm saying is, you have your ways, Mitanny had his, and I, being the strange mixture of so many things, will have my own." Later that day, I was fingering the pile of books on the kitchen table which Miss Emily had brought me, when my fingers suddenly stopped on the benign-looking slim volume, Leaves of Grass, by Walt Whitman. Opening it up, I was instantly amazed. There, before me, was a poem, a very long poem, with no hint of a rhyme scheme in sight. Curious, I began to read. "Swiftly arose and spread around me the peace and joy and knowledge that pass all the art and argument of the earth, and I know that the hand of God is the promise of my own. And I know that the Spirit of God is the brother of my own, and that all the men ever born are also my brothers, and the women my sisters and lovers, and that a Kelson of the creation is love, and limitless are leaves stiff or drooping in the fields, and brown ants in the little wells beneath them, and mossy scabs of the worm fence, heaped stones, elder, mullein, and pokeweed. Even the pokeweed is a part of God's creation," I whispered. "So God must love the pokeweed inside me. No one is perfect," I told myself. "Everything is flawed. Just look at the moonflower, blooming only at night, not wanting to share its beauty." Mitanny liked himself, I thought. If he liked himself,
Then he must have liked me, 'cause I'm every damn bit as hard-headed as he was. Hadn't Mamie Tillman eased me off the sawdust-covered floor? Hadn't she been my friend when I was feeling so alone? Wasn't she my sister? And didn't I have a valley of sisters? Ain't one of us alone, she'd said. Mitanny, I yelled, get in here!
Land sakes, child, she said, slamming the screen door coming in from the porch. What is it? She asked, wiping her brow with her hand.
Ain't one of us perfect, I said, jumping up from my chair. But still the good Lord loves us. We're all part of his creation.
Mitanny cocked her head and said, haven't I said those same words to you?
I nodded vigorously. From the highest to the lowest, I said. From the hands of God to ants, to mossy scabs, stones, and even pokeweed. Mitanny was grinning.
I know where you heard the other, but where did you hear that? She asked.
From the great American poet Walt Whitman, I replied.
Well, he must have been a good boy, she said. Sounds like he went to church.
Is this Union Church? I asked.
Yes, it is, the voice on the phone replied.
May I speak to Miss Gooch? I said.
Well, she's not in right now, the voice said. Would you like to leave your number and a message?
Yes, ma'am, I said. Would you please tell her that Icy Sparks wants to try out for the Union Church Chorus?
For the celebration on the 4th,
the voice added. Yes, ma'am.
Best core group in these free mountains, the voice sighed. Wouldn't that plaque be nice?
I've been dreaming about it, I said.
Well then, Icy, the voice said, I'll give Miss Gooch your message and have her get back to you. Your number, please?
Poplar Holler 0541, I answered.
Good luck, the voice said.
Thank you, I said, before politely hanging up, readying my fingers to dial the next number. After all, I thought, a person couldn't trust Aggie Gooch. Too much communion, ginseng folk said. Too much of last year's apple cider, they would add to be polite. I telephoned 3 more churches which I had been attending and asked if I could audition for spots in their choral groups. Poplar Holler Pentecostal Holiness Church had already asked me to sing with them, and even though I had consented, I knew better than to count on Mitanny's church. At the last minute, something always happened to that old bus, and their choral group never showed up. I would not take any chances. I reasoned that if many pathways led to God, then singing for a handful of churches was the most righteous thing I could do.
You've got yourself a heavenly voice, Miss Gooch said, hiccuping, bringing the glass of cider to her lips, swallowing. Union will be glad to have you. How long have you been singing?
Since childhood, I said, relieved that I was auditioning for Mr. Leedy next.
Clear as a bell, Mr. Leedy said. Second Street Baptist welcomes you.
It's an honor, I said, since you already have so many fine voices in your group. Persnickety Mrs. Reese, strutting in front of the piano at Old Vine Methodist, had praised me effusively.
Why, my child, you sing like an angel, she said. Your talent is a blessing from God.
Pleased with myself, I smiled and said, thank you, Mrs. Reese. Coming from you, that means a lot. But she could be fickle and had a habit of changing her mind. Even decrepit Mrs. Fiedler at Ginseng Episcopalian appreciated my voice. You're amazing, she said, her voice quivering. And you sing as pretty as you look. Of course, I was afraid she might die by the 4th of July. Then what would I do? So altogether, I had 5 auditions, hedging my bet, so to speak. Each choir had wanted me, and by the 3rd of July, I was signed up to sing for all 5 churches. Upstairs alone in my bedroom, with the windows open and a rose-scented breeze wafting through, I stood in front of my floor-length mirror, the one that Patani had hung for me, and practiced. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, I sang out in a deep, rich voice. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. As I pranced back and forth in front of the mirror, singing with as much gusto as I could muster, the veins in my neck started to pop out and turn a dark blue. What power, I thought, singing on.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
With my hands on my hips, in front of the mirror, I ordered my reflection to sing as if auditioning for God. This time my voice held even more power. I sang as though my soul were on fire.
In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom, he transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. His truth is marching on.
I see. What on earth are you doing up there?
I heard Mitanni yell. I'm practicing, I yelled back.
Time for bed,
Mitanni cried, tapping up the stairs.
I'll get you up early,
she said, cracking the door, poking her head through.
You can practice some more then.
Before closing the door behind her, she cocked her head to the side and said,
Icy Sparks, you're gonna make me and my church real proud.
In the silence of the night, I could hear the nightbirds calling and the crickets singing. Just minutes before, I had been singing too, and when I sang, every nerve in my body relaxed. Like everyone else, I was normal. No grotesque twitches overwhelmed me. No unnerving sounds jumped from my throat. My voice simply washed them away. Only my essence remained, simply that of a yellow-haired girl with a golden voice. Stretching out my arms, I breathed in the sweet fragrance and felt the sticky night air on my skin. 5 churches have accepted you, I whispered. 5 churches have said, Icy, you have a heavenly voice. 5 acceptances, I thought. I was about to repeat the words out loud when my breath caught in my chest. I gasped, sat up, and clearly understood what was facing me. Like a bat blinded by the sun, I had been blinded by the glow of acceptance. For the past 2 weeks, I had been maneuvering rides into ginseng with Daryl Lute. I had been sneaking around, rehearsing with 5 choruses of loving people who had grown to accept me. Swallowing my apprehension as if it were a stone, I had easily substituted small twitches for big ones. I had gloriously fluttered my fingers, not flapped my arms, and simply sung. Filled with hope, I had wanted to make it all work, resolved to transform my hope into happiness, and in my delirium, mapped out my future, one which would be filled with people and friends. At the big tent revival meeting, God had shown me the way to acceptance. Then he had shown me how. But in my wild excitement, I had overlooked one important thing. Tomorrow, in front of the Crockett County Courthouse, in front of all 5 groups, I'd be forced to choose just one. And when I chose, everything I had been working for, any respect I had won, would vanish. In that split second, all of my hopes would disappear. Later, combing my hair in front of the mirror, I remembered Mitanni's words,
Icy Sparks, you're gonna make me and my church real proud.
A twitch started in my arm. My hand snapped up. My fingers spasmed.
Merciful Lord, I said aloud, shuddering as the comb hit the floor. What have I done?
People lined the streets of ginseng as Daryl Lute drove through. Red, white, and blue crepe paper decorated the shop fronts. In front of the Sampson Coal Company, vendors were selling fireworks. 2 little girls were twirling around with sparklers in their hands. Even the post office had been draped in red, white, and blue. Colorful plywood cutouts of Paul Revere on his famous ride were positioned out front. The year, 1776, was hung above the door. In the distance, I could hear the sounds of the Ginseng High School band warming up. Soon the parade would begin, but first the church choral groups would compete. Daryl stopped right in front of the courthouse and let us out. Immediately, the smell of popcorn, hot dogs, and peanuts filled the air. A little boy with a cherry snow cone coloring his lips swooped by me. Little old ladies wiped the sides of their faces with embroidered white handkerchiefs. Farmers in overalls chewed tobacco and spit the brown juice into the grass. Local businessmen in blue suits smoked quietly. Mothers cradling babies sighed in the noonday heat.
Hey! Hey! Miss Emily yelled.
I spotted a fan with Tanner's feed supply stamped across the front. Hey! Hey! She cried, waving it back and forth. I'm over here! I tugged at Mitanny's dress. She's over there, I said, pointing at Miss Emily among a throng of people, beside the bench.
Well, I'll be,
Mitanny said, scurrying forward, weaving around people in lawn chairs and stepping over legs sprawled out on blankets on the grass.
She saved us the best spot.
When my eyes caught sight of the courthouse, a low groan escaped my lips. In front of the building, just behind the stage, among all the competing choruses and their singers, I spotted my groups. Much to my horror, all five of them were huddling behind and to the left of Mayor Anglin, who, sporting an Uncle Sam top hat, stood in the center of the platform. Directly behind him was a small band. In the background, the U.S. flag and the Kentucky flag proudly flew.
Here! Here! Miss Emily screeched.
My eyes couldn't avoid her. There she was, wearing her red, white, and blue striped dress, every bit the spectacle I knew she'd be.
There's your group over there,
Miss Emily exclaimed, pointing at the mass of singers. I shrugged and wiped my sweaty hands on my blouse. Mrs. Reese, strutting by at that moment, grabbed my hand and pulled me along, saying, Come along, Icy. We've got to get you robed.
Hey there, Miss Gooch said, waving the minute she saw me.
How you doing, honey? Mrs. Fiedler declared when I brushed against her.
Clear as a bell,
Mr. Leedy roared when his eyes caught mine. Miranda Williams, one of the singers from Poplar Holler Pentecostal Holiness Church, yelled, There's Icy! All of them, all five of them, are counting on me, I thought, swallowing hard, feeling the muscles in my throat tighten.
Testing, Mayor Anglin said as the microphone buzzed. Testing, testing!
From behind the platform came the disjointed notes of a band warming up. Guitars hummed, an electric keyboard whined, drumsticks coughed. A young man in front of me bent over and retrieved a stone from off the ground. He cupped it, then shook his hand like a rattle. My heart skidded, and I ducked my head. What if love won't set me free? I thought.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Mayor Anglin announced when the band stopped.
Welcome each and every one of you to our great 4th of July celebration.
Please, God, I prayed, my hands gripping each other beneath my chin. Please give me strength, I asked. At that moment, Mrs. Reese tossed a choir robe over my shoulders. Oh, no, I said when I saw it, shimmering green in the sunlight. Bullfrog green, I moaned, my hands dropping to my sides. I'll be a frog child forever. Nervously, I surveyed the crowd. There was Miss Emily, smiling and pointing hysterically. Here I was, covered in green, looking every bit as green as she did the night of the big tent revival.
Merciful Lord, I pleaded, help me.
Our local churches have gathered here today, Mayor Anglin continued, to compete for the highest honor given on this day of celebration.
Grandly, he opened his arms.
Best choral group in these free mountains.
The band let out a few more chords. Whoops rose from the crowd. The townsfolk clapped. Beneath my green robe, sweat oozed from my body.
These will go first, Mayor Anglin said, pointing to my five groups. Thelma, will you and yours please come up?
Thelma Reese nodded politely.
Lord, help me, I said when the group moved forward.
Old Vine Methodist,
Mayor Anglin shouted, stepping aside as we squeezed onto the platform. Mrs. Reese hummed, turning toward the band.
Battle Hymn of the Republic,
she said primly. Then, with a flourish of her hand, she turned back toward the crowd while the band began to play.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, the other sang. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Afraid, I hung back, away from the microphone. My voice froze. It was lodged in my throat like a block of ice.
He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
A jerk started in the toes of my left leg. Ouch! I squealed, grinding my foot into the stage, curling my toes against the wood. Glory, glory, hallelujah! Glory, glory, hallelujah! The group sang. Ow! I whimpered as the muscles in my leg tightened the way they always did before a jerk. Glory, glory, hallelujah! The group continued. Up went my leg. It snapped straight out from my body at a 90-degree angle. Alarmed, Mrs. Reese looked at me. Lord, help me, I prayed. Hold on, honey, Mrs. Reese whispered as she took a step toward me. My leg began to shake in midair. Don't worry, sugar, Mrs. Reese said, stroking my cheek. I'm right here. His truth is marching on, the group sang. I felt the warmth of her touch. The heat from her fingers sizzled through my throat. Yes, his truth is marching on, I said, the block of ice melting away. His truth is marching on, I repeated, forcing my foot down in front of the microphone, liberating myself with a twitch of the toes instead of a jerk. His truth is marching on, I shouted ardently. My arms were moving, my legs were stepping high. With the aplomb of a Buckingham Palace guard, I marched. Up and down I marched, parading back and forth. Grinning widely, Mrs. Reese motioned to the band, who had quit playing. Once more they began to play. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, I belted, my voice bursting from my body. With the glory in his bosom, he transfigures you and me. The music was finally engulfing me, mesmerizing me, holding me close. As he died to make men holy, I sang in a deep voice. Let us die to make men free, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. All of us sang until the crowd, clapping loudly, drowned us out and we could no longer hear ourselves. So, joining hands, we formed a semicircle and silently bowed. Looking up, I stared at the townspeople, at all of those faces. Some were perplexed. Confusion twisted their features. Others were annoyed. They were shaking their heads. But many, it seemed, were happy. And suddenly, the impact of their smiles flowed like warm water all over me. Old Vine Methodist, Mayor Anglin shouted, pushing through our arms. Good citizens of Crockett County, how about giving them another hand? Then, before I knew it, while the audience was still applauding and I was still basking in the heat of approval, royal blue robes began floating across the stage. A little angel, came the withered old voice of Mrs. Fiedler as she extended her arm and offered me a robe. Dizzy and disconcerted, I blinked once, inhaled deeply, then composed myself. Quickly, I took the blue robe. On it came, washing away the green. Immediately, the choral group from Ginseng Episcopalian pressed forward. A slight twitch tingled in my arms. For a second, I felt the urge to flap them, but then the music started. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, we all sang. The melody seeped into my arms and calmed me. Its measured tempo soothed me. And when I ordered my arms to substitute flutter for flight, they did just as they were told. Daintily, I fluttered my fingers. A touch of love. A bite of cake. And next, full-throated and grandly, I was lifting up my voice in song. With the cross of Jesus going on before. My heart liquefied. The music washed over me. Through the night of doubt and sorrow, on goes the pilgrim band, singing songs of expectation, marching to the promised land. I sang. We all sang, and the crowd went wild. They marched, pounding their shoes into the grass, all the while chanting, Onward, Christian soldiers, over and over again.
At the same time, the choral group from Poplar Holler Pentecostal Holiness Church was marching toward the platform, shaking it with the thumping of their feet.
We didn't know you were singing with everyone,
Miranda Williams giggled, edging against me.
That's nice.
She handed me a white, discolored robe.
You've already got on two, she said. Now it'll be three.
Instantly, a wave of white, like a blanket of foam, splashed forward. At once, 10 people burst out singing. Up to the bountiful giver of life, gathering home, gathering home. They sang in rich, melodious voices. Up to the dwelling where cometh no strife, the dear ones are gathering home. With arms locked around each other, all of us started to sway. Like a huge wave, that soft blanket buoyed me up and exposed me to the sun. The Holy Spirit burned through me, and I began to sing alongside my brothers and sisters. Gathering home, gathering home, I sang out. Never to sorrow more, never to roam. Gathering home, gathering home. God's children are gathering home. My face was wet, my eyes were filled with tears. Up to the city where falleth no night. Gathering home, gathering home. We all sang together, rocking from side to side. Up where the Savior's own face is the light, the dear ones are gathering home. Releasing our arms, we raise them upward and look toward the sky. Gathering home, gathering home, we ardently chorused. Never to sorrow more, never to roam. Gathering home, gathering home, God's children are gathering home. Thereupon, each of us joined hands, and like a big net, we swung our arms outward. Up to the beautiful mansions above, gathering home, gathering home. We all harmonized, bringing our arms back to our sides. Safe in the arms of His infinite love, the dear ones are gathering home. Each one of us sang, our arms still swinging. Gathering home, gathering home. Never to sorrow more, never to roam. Our voices sang out. Gathering home, gathering home. God's children are gathering home.
Here we come,
Miss Gooch said as we finally stood still on the stage. For you, she said, grabbing my arm, pulling me over, and wrapping a gold robe around me. You gotta stay. We need you, she said, as the group from Matani's church stepped down and the group from Union Church took their place.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain,
her strong soprano voice rang out.
For purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain.
We all joined in. Like wheat blowing in the breeze, our gold-draped bodies leaned from side to side. Our voices were ripe and hearty.
America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for patriot's dream.
We were singing when Mr. Leedy bellowed,
Mike Way!
And with his words, in a flash of red, the choral group from Second Street Baptist Church materialized.
This is yours,
Mr. Leedy shouted, throwing a red robe high into the air, where it opened up like a flower falling to my shoulders.
Now sing,
he commanded, theatrically shaking his arm like a baton. Whereupon all of us began to sing.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring.
Mayor Anglin, who had been frowning, was now lifting his voice in song. And soon, in a transfusion of sound, every group was singing.
and every person in front of the courthouse was singing too.
My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name my love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above.
I was sweating profusely beneath all five robes, the green, the blue, the white, the gold, and the red.
Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing.
All of us sang. I was singing rapturously when suddenly my eyes met Mitanni's, and for an instant my heart froze. Her arm shot up, waved, then she smiled.
Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King.
At that moment, a handwritten sign shot up like a crown above the heads of the crowd. Dressed in red, white, and blue, Miss Emily was tilting on top of the bench like an unfurled massive flag propped up by the sturdy shoulders of Daryl Lute.
Welcome to the world, the sign read.
Right then and there, I believed in my future. In front of the whole of ginseng, beneath that mountain of cloth, my heart was finally beating bright red and strong for all to see. Tourette syndrome is a reason for your behavior, the doctor had said, but it's not an excuse. That was 4 years ago at Berea College. I'm 21 now. I got an education and a diagnosis all at the same time. The reason why I am, the reason why I jerk, croak, and tick. A neurological disorder. Neurotransmitters gone haywire. Lid off the id. Computer overload. I suffer from a disorder. A disorder with continental flair. First described in 1885 by Gilles de la Tourette. The good doctor was glad to make my acquaintance. But why did I say suffer? Let's say grow. I have found order in my disorder. I have embraced my difference. In rocky soil, icy sparks, have blossomed. My difference has allowed me to flourish. Without it, life would have been easier, but I would not be me. Look around you. Nowhere in these mountains will you find a stronger family. The photograph on my mantle says it all. Me in my cap and gown, Mitanni and Miss Emily dressed in smiles, all of us wearing a legacy of joy. Nowhere in these mountains will you find a better friend. Just ask Mamie Tillman, or Mrs. Mamie Combs, I should say. For 6 years, through six birthing blankets, we've been fast friends, and now, with my own hands, I'm knitting her a seventh. A blue and pink one for the baby on the way. The rest of Mama's blankets, I'm keeping for myself and my daughter. Look closely. You'll never find a more loyal friend. Maisie Hurley Cunningham will tell you so. We talk about nursing, about music therapy. We still talk about empathy. Just write Peavy Lawson and Lane Carlson in Vietnam, and they'll tell you about getting a letter from me every week. Look around you. In this country of coal mines and curves, you won't find a more open-hearted woman to her old friends and to her new ones. I'm a caring therapist. Children silent as stone sing for me. Children who cannot speak create music for me. And why, frog child or saint, you might ask, why are you so special? In just two words, I'll answer you. In just two words, I'll give you the reason why. Tourette syndrome. At first, a curse. Now, a blessing. Frog child and saint. Mitanni always says, the good Lord works in mysterious ways. So what do I care if, in these genes of mine, I also carry croaks, curses, and jerks? So what do I care if I'm led to speak in tongues and in the voices of animals? If I have the urge to flap my arms and fly? If I sometimes let my feelings show and expose the pokeweed inside me, I say, so be it. Because in these genes, I also carry nourishment, a voice so sweet that it can soothe the angriest spirit, and eyes that not only pop out to look at the sun, but also are curious and eager to learn.
So, if in these genes of mine I pass down all of these traits, the jerks, croaks, curses, and repetitions, I will not care, because my children will be blessed. And if someday the townsfolk say to my daughter, "You is your mama's child," I'll rejoice, knowing that no one can forget the memory of a golden-haired girl who throws back her head, pops out her eyes, and croaks loudly into the dusk of a hot summer day.
This has been a Highbridge Audio presentation.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.